Tonight, from Little Rock, First Impressions of a Man by Strangers.
It wasn't too long before the governor himself was just pouring his heart out.
From the hills of Arkansas, Impressions of a Man by Friends.
I think Orville Fulbush is a fine man, and he done it earnestly to keep peace on both sides of the house.
From Newport, Impressions of a Man on a Mission.
When Governor Faubus left the president's office, I got the impression of a deeply concerned, deeply worried man.
In 60 seconds, we'll bring you a word portrait of a controversial person, Governor Orville Faubus. But first, hear this.
At the tone, the time will be mighty buy time at your Chrysler dealers.
That's right. The time right now is mighty buy time. And the place, your Chrysler dealers. Why? Because your Chrysler dealer right now can give you a mighty good buy on a mighty Chrysler. A buy that may seem hard to believe. You can become the owner of a big car, a luxury car, a prestige car, a mighty Chrysler. The only car in its field that's so new in styling, so new in engineering. The only car in its field that will still be new years from now when you trade it in. Yet your Chrysler dealer can now afford to give you an unbelievably good buy, a better buy than ever before. You can get low year-end prices, year-end terms, not weeks from now, but right now. All you have to do is call or drop in at your Chrysler dealer right away while it's mighty buy time.
In the Ozark Hills of Arkansas, near a stream known as Greasy Creek, a young man named Orville Faubus was raised. Today, he is the governor of the sovereign state of Arkansas, the center of a storm of controversy stirred up by the problems of mixing white and colored children in a classroom. Politics and prejudice aside, as much as possible in these days, what kind of a man is Orville Faubus? Life magazine sent a four-man team of Roy Rowan, Paul Welch, Francis Miller, and Gray Villay through the tight cordon of National Guardsmen and into the governor's mansion to see how he lived and possibly what he thought.
Well, I must explain one thing. We started off in the mansion and got in there exclusively by promising that we were just there to take photographs and that we wouldn't eavesdrop and we wouldn't ask any questions. Of course, it wasn't too long before the governor himself was just pouring his heart out. He wanted somebody to talk to, and our people were handy.
Frank, would he let you photograph him without warning, or did you have to set up each picture?
He seemed completely relaxed and didn't mind us crawling all around him, front and back, over the coffee table, up or down.
Think he's a vain man?
No, unless you'd call adjusting his tie so that even though he had no coat on the first night we photographed him, he held up his hand and said, "Don't shoot till I get my tie fixed," and he'd pull his tie up tight. And if that's vanity, that's he did that.
Well, Roy, during all the time that you people were covering, did his manner change as this thing became increasingly critical?
Oh, I think he became very tired as the week wore on itself. And he has a nervous stomach. I think it was just the pressure of the week's events on him.
Does this nervous stomach affect what he can eat, what he can't eat?
Oh, yes. For dinner, I know. One day he just had a baked potato while everybody else had steaks.
You know, I imagine seeing Orville Faubus in the governor's mansion at Little Rock, you get one view of him. But when you get into the background of Orville Faubus, you find out where he came from and the things he did on that road from the back hills up to Little Rock, you find out a great deal more about him, don't you?
Well, the governor was born in a simple board shack way up a hill, a two-mile walk from what they call a road, even though that's barely passable. And he both went to school and taught school in a little one-room building along Greasy Creek. We met one lady, for instance, that the governor taught when he was teaching in grade school there.
Well, he was teaching in grade school while he was still going to high school.
That's true.
Roy, who was Uncle Sam?
Uncle Sam is the governor's father.
Oh, what kind of a person is Uncle Sam?
Well, Uncle Sam is what the people up there refer to as a mountain radical. He thinks that integration is going to win out. He is a great reader. Uncle Sam is, he raises chickens and was a farmer and a logger. He's spent a good deal of his days reading, and his house there was littered with books and magazines. And he claims that he taught Orville to read, and that Orville became an avid reader himself.
Now, you mentioned the books and magazines around Uncle Sam's house. Did you see them around the governor's mansion, Frank? Were there a lot of books in evidence?
There were the books in evidence, but I didn't get the feeling that there were more than usual. And he was too busy all the time we were there to read if he even felt so inclined.
So Orville Faubus appears to strangers in his home. We'll travel into the Arkansas hills and visit the governor's father, Uncle Sam, in just a moment on Life and the World.
Sleep is something we just can't do without. And yet I know of many people going sleepless because they're afraid sleeping tablets have to be dangerous to be effective. You're the people who should learn about sleep ease with the amazing new formula SP8 that assures safe, sound, undisturbed sleep. Sleep ease tablets are non-habit forming, require no prescription. Yet clinical tests prove sleep ease with new SP8 every bit as effective as barbiturates. Sleep ease with new formula SP8 was tested in one of the world's largest hospitals and brought sleep in 88% of cases of severe sleeplessness. Don't stay up all night tossing and turning to start another day exhausted. Just two sleep ease tablets and you'll drift off into a safe, sound sleep to awake refreshed, clear-headed, and ready for the day's work. Buy introductory size Sleep Ease at any drugstore for just 79 cents. Insist on Sleep Ease tablets with the new exclusive formula SP8 that lets you sleep like a baby.
A man is a hero, least of all to his own kinfolk. And seeking a closer glimpse of Governor Orville Faubus as a man, Life in the World went down with Ernie Howard to Greasy Creek and to J. Sam Faubus, the governor's 70-year-old father, better known in the area as Uncle Sam.
He always seemed to do his own thinking. He's always been a determined feller. He's always worked things out for himself.
Did the governor get into much mischief when he was a youngster, like most of us boys
None
did?
None whatever that I know of.
You mean not even a prankster when he was a kid?
Well, not that I ever knew of.
Do you feel that the governor is a segregationist, or do you think that he was actually working in the interest of preserving the peace?
I think he is called out the guard to preserve the peace because Orville's not prejudiced against races, because I never told him that. I told my children all to regard everybody as about equal. I mean, every race. And he's not prejudiced towards the colored people.
Have you had any conversation with the governor at all before this incident took place?
Well, I haven't talked with him any in the last few months because there's always been too many around, you know, for us to have a real conversation about anything serious.
While in the area, we visited other people who knew the governor. In Bershears, a town of some 15 or 20 residents, Mrs. Maud Bershears talks with Ernie Howard.
Mrs. Bershear, I believe the governor taught school somewhere near here, didn't he?
Yes, sir. About 5 miles from here, over there in the woods, he taught school.
And what would you say about the governor?
Well, I think Orville Faubus is a fine man, and he done it earnestly to keep peace on both sides of the house. He has sympathy for everybody, and he's tender-hearted. He doesn't want to do anything to harm anyone. And he'd make the best governor we ever had in the state of Arkansas, because he was our kind of people.
Mr. Kelly Cornett, comptroller for the state of Arkansas, recalled the governor as a student.
The governor, I do recall, was very much interested in debate. And
what kind of a debater was he? Was he successful most of the time?
Well, at most times, of course, the governor was very successful. He seemed to be a fairly deep thinker, and no matter which side he would take in a debate, whether he was affirmative or negative, I always considered he was a very good debater.
Harvey Coombs, insurance commissioner and close boyhood chum of the governor's father, had this to say.
I think he's gone further than nearly any man I ever knew in Arkansas from the start he had. And every job that he's ever held, he's done a good job. and his ambition is to serve the people of Arkansas to the best of his ability, and he works at it day and night.
Working things out for himself, as his father said he always did, Faubus left his guarded mansion on a mission. You'll hear more about that mission in just a moment.
One dime. One nickel. That's all it takes.
Takes for what?
Well, it takes just 15 cents to learn how X-Lax can help you toward your normal regularity. 15 cents is the price of the introductory size.
You know, I've heard about X-Lax since I was a kid. Never got around to trying it somehow.
Well, you should. X-Lax is America's largest selling laxative. It's the laxative that helps you toward your normal regularity gently, overnight. You just take pleasant-tasting chocolated X-Lax at bedtime. It will not disturb your sleep. And it's so effective that the next morning you'll be well on your way toward your normal regularity. Seldom, if ever, will you need X-Lax the next day. So, when your system is irregular and you need a laxative, do what most people do. Take X-Lax. Take X-Lax today, feel better tomorrow. Remember, the introductory size costs just one dime and one nickel. Just 15 cents.
A dramatic highlight in Governor Faubus's career was a flying trip to Newport, Rhode Island, to see the President of the United States. What impression did this man, who made the long journey from the Ozark Hills to the President's office, make on newsmen in Newport? Here, listen to NBC's Ray Shearer.
He was all smiles as he disappeared up the stairs of the President's office on the arm of Sherman Adams. 2 hours later, Faubus came out, and with the President posed for pictures. John Steele, White House correspondent for Time and Life, gives us the picture.
Ray, when Governor Faubus left the President's office, I got the impression of a deeply concerned, deeply worried man. He received a gracious presidential leave-taking in which Mr. Eisenhower thanked him for coming and wished him best of luck. Orville Faubus then walked slowly down the green slope to the waiting helicopter. The problem, so easy to discuss in the cool of the President's office, would be, one felt, far harder to solve in the emotion-packed atmosphere of Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yes, from what you have heard, Governor Faubus sounded like a man in search of a solution to a problem of his own making. Finding no solution, Faubus made clear at a news conference his next step.
When are you going home, Governor?
Just as soon as I can get out of here.
And that's life and the world. Tonight we brought you the portrait of a man from the Ozark Hills who made a journey to fashionable Newport to see a president. This is Frank Blair concluding this 39th edition of Life and the World. Tonight's program was developed from features appearing in the current issue of Life magazine through the worldwide facilities of Life and NBC News.
This is NBC. High-protein Quaker Oats or Mother's Oats helps control weight, with milk sugar only 210 calories.